Greetings, brothers and sisters. I'm Brother John, and today we're going to be taking a look at some end times prophecies from the prophet Isaiah, and we're going to see what kind of information we can get about the timing of the rapture and what signs there will be that the rapture is about to happen. So let's begin with Isaiah chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, which says, "And what will ye do in the day of visitation, and in the desolation which shall come from far? To whom will ye flee for help, and where will ye leave your glory? Without me they shall bow down under the prisoners, and they shall fall under the slain. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand is my indignation. I will send him against a hypocritical nation. That nation is Israel, that thinks that they're self-righteous because they think they obey the law. And against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge, to take the spoil, and to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets." Okay, so here we find out that the day of Jesus' visitation, there will come desolation, and the Jews will be fleeing for help. And the Assyrian, which is the Antichrist, is the rod of God's anger, which he will use as the weapon of his indignation. And he will send the Assyrian against Israel, which is the nation of his wrath, because they have no faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they rejected the love of the truth. And the Assyrian will make war against Israel and will scatter them abroad, killing many and taking others as a spoil. This is the time of Jacob's trouble, which is going to last for 3.5 years. This is the time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. But what does this tell us about when the church is going to be raptured? Well, the day of Jesus' visitation is the rapture. You see, he isn't coming to stay. He's only going to visit and do a turnaround. He's going to rapture us and bring his indignation and his wrath to those who rejected Christ. And once he does that, he is going to return back to his Father's house with us, as seen in Revelation chapter 6 at the sixth seal, and in chapter 7, which is still the sixth seal. Jesus comes, we get raptured, and he's back in heaven with us before the seventh seal is opened, which ushers in God's wrath, which are the seven trumpets and seven bowls. And the day of Jesus's visitation is the day of desolation, and when the Jews flee to the mountains, which is at the abomination of desolation. And as we see in the scriptures, it says that God is going to send the Assyrian after Israel, and he must be with the army that comes from the north that is going to scatter Israel to the four winds. This is why Jesus says in the Gospels, "When you see Jerusalem surrounded with armies, you know that the desolation is near. Then look up, for your redemption draws near." This army is going to come from the north, likely from Syria or Jordan, and we're told in the Old Testament that they are the Medes, which is modern day Iran. The Iranian government hates Israel and calls them the little Satan and vows to destroy Israel. Iran also funds terrorist groups in Israel, like Hezbollah, which attacks Israel with rockets whenever Iran wants. They are Iran's proxy puppet. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 24 through 25 says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee, after the manner of Egypt. For yet a little while, and the indignation shall cease, and my anger in their destruction." So this is going to be a second exodus for the Jews, and is only going to last for 3.5 years, and it's going to end with the destruction of Israel. Isaiah chapter 50 verse 3 says, "For out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate." Again, this just confirms that the army that is going to come against Israel is going to make her desolate, and this army comes from the north. And I believe that this army is Iran, that is going to come from the north. And I believe that this army is going to be the Persians, which today is modern day Turkey and Iran. And they will come from the north. Isaiah chapter 13 verses 6 through 20 says, "Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt." Notice here that it says every man's heart will melt. This tells us the timing of the rapture. This is a direct reference to Luke chapter 21, where it says, "Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." So this confirms that the day of the Lord is the same day of the coming of the Son of Man in the clouds, which is the rapture and the day of our redemption. The day of the Lord is the seventh day of God's 7,000-year plan, and the day of the Lord lasts 1,000 years. Back to Isaiah 13. "And they shall be afraid, pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another, their faces shall be as flames." Notice that at this time is when Israel is travailing as a woman with child. And this is another confirmation that this is the rapture. It is a direct link to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 3, which says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon her as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." And we see here that Israel is travailing as a woman with child at the time when Jerusalem is surrounded with armies. And we know that the abomination of desolation is near. And this is going to be the same day when the Son of Man is revealed, when the Jews are fleeing from the housetops and fleeing to the mountains, just as in the days of Lot, when Lot fled out of Sodom. Jerusalem is spiritual Sodom. So when the Jews are fleeing out of spiritual Sodom, that is when the Son of Man is going to be revealed, as in the days of Lot. Back to Isaiah 13. "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." This verse here links us to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. "And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate." Now we know that it is God that makes it desolate at the day of the Lord, with his wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate for the overspreading of abominations. Back to Isaiah 13. "For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine." This is the sign of the coming of the Son of Man from Matthew 24. And guess when it happens? At the abomination of desolation. The same day that the Jews flee to the mountains. The same day that Jerusalem is surrounded with armies. The same day that the Jews flee from the housetops and to the mountains. Back to Isaiah 13. "And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. Boom. Right here, notice the earth moves out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. This confirms God's wrath comes at the sixth seal, when the earth is moved out of her place, and every mountain and island is moved out of its place. And this verse debunks those that claim that these people are only realizing it's God's wrath. The sixth seal is the start of God's wrath and the rapture, because we are not appointed to God's wrath. And when you let scripture interpret scripture, the sixth seal is the first time the word wrath is even mentioned in the book of Revelation. That is when the wrath comes. And we know this because when God comes in his wrath, and in the day of his fierce anger, he's going to shake the heavens and the earth is going to remove out of her place. And we see this exact event happening at the opening of the sixth seal. There's a great earthquake and every mountain and island is moved out of her place. This is how you know that the wrath begins at the sixth seal and not before it. Back to Isaiah 13. And it shall be as a chaste roe and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people and flee every one into his own land. Every one that is found shall be thrust through, and every one that is joined onto them shall fall by the sword. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled and their wives ravished. Okay. This is why Jesus says in Matthew 24, "Woe to them that are with child in those days, for there shall be great tribulation, because their children shall be dashed to pieces before their very eyes, and their wives are going to be raped and taken captive by this invading army which comes from the north, which I believe to be Iran, because the Old Testament scriptures say that it is the Medes." Back to Isaiah 13. "Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. And Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah." And for this very reason, God says to flee from the housetops to the mountains and not to look back. Remember Lot's wife. For Judea will be overthrown as Sodom and Gomorrah, as it is written in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 9, which confirms this by saying, "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah." This small remnant is the 144,000 that will be sealed with the seal of God on their foreheads. This seal will protect them from God's wrath during the 3.5 years of God's wrath. This is the very small remnant of Israel that will be saved. Now, Iran is not exactly north of Israel, but I believe that Iran is going to invade Israel coming from the north. Iran hates Israel and wants to destroy her, and so does most of the Islamic Middle East countries. However, Iran seems to be the best candidate considering that they are the modern day Medes, as it is written in Isaiah 13. And they will invade Jerusalem through Jordan, which is another Islamic nation. Israel is surrounded by her enemies. Israel is surrounded by Islam. And Islam hates the Jews. And they want to burn her with fire. And they're going to burn her with fire at the end of the Great Tribulation. For she is the woman that rides the beast. There are 7 mountains or hills around Jerusalem, that great city. which kills all of the prophets and stones them that are sent unto her. And she is drunk with the blood of all of the saints and the martyrs that died for Jesus Christ. O Jerusalem, that great city which is spiritually called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. She is the woman that rides the beast, and they're going to burn her with fire by the end of the great tribulation. For she is Mystery Babylon. This is why when the Apostle John saw her, his reaction was that he marveled with great amazement, because John knew her. He was amazed because it was Jerusalem. He wouldn't have been amazed if it was some faraway land like the United States or Rome. He was amazed because he knew exactly who she was. And the story of Hosea marrying the harlot wife is a foreshadow of the Great Tribulation. Hosea is a type of the Lord, and his harlot wife is Jerusalem. She plays the harlot riding the beast until the end, when the beast turns on her and burns her with fire. Then the Lord comes and redeems her at the very end. Mystery Babylon is not America. No prophets have ever been killed in the United States. Nor is it Rome, because Rome is never called that great city. Not even once in the entire Bible. Only Jerusalem is referred to that great city. You must let the scriptures interpret scripture. And when you do so, you'll know that Jerusalem is Mystery Babylon. America is not even mentioned in the Bible. The entire Bible is a story that is centered around the Middle East. Not America and not Europe, but the Middle East. And the heart of the story is based around Jerusalem, which is that great city according to the Bible. And it literally refers to Jerusalem as that great city. If the Bible was a movie, Jerusalem would be the star of that movie. So in conclusion, when they shall say peace and safety, this confirms that the rapture is not a 7-year pre-tribulation, because the sudden destruction that comes upon Israel as travail upon a woman with child comes when Jerusalem is surrounded with armies on the day of the abomination of desolation, as it is written by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 13, verse 8. This travail comes in the midst of the week, which is the time of Jacob's trouble. Think about it. 7-year pre-tribbers say that Israel makes a 7-year peace treaty with the Antichrist, and the Antichrist breaks the treaty in the middle of the week. Well, that means that Israel is not going to be in trouble during the first half of the week. The scripture confirms this. Israel is only in trouble for a time, times, and half a time during the Great Tribulation. Therefore, the rapture happens at the start of Jacob's trouble, which is in the midst of the week, not at the beginning. Scripture confirms this in Luke chapter 17. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained down fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. In the day that the Son of Man is revealed, this is talking about the day of the rapture. In that day, he which is on the housetop is told to flee and not to look back, which links us directly to the coming of the Son of Man and the day of the rapture, which Matthew 24 confirms when it says, "And when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." And this verse links us directly to Daniel chapter 12, which is the resurrection that happens at the start of Jacob's trouble. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people." What happens at the rapture? The trumpet is sound with the voice of the archangel. when Michael stands up. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble. This is Jacob's trouble. Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So the resurrection happens at the abomination of desolation, which is the start of Jacob's trouble, which is the time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And the first sign is going to be the invading army that comes from the north that will surround Jerusalem. When we see this, we can know for certain that the abomination of desolation is near. And when we shall see the abomination of desolation as spoken of in Matthew 24 and in the book of Daniel, at that time shall Michael stand up, and the Jews are going to flee to the mountains, and there will be a great earthquake. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. The sun is going to be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, and the stars are going to fall to the earth. And Jesus will appear in the clouds, and we that are alive and remain are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and we will forever be with the Lord. Amen. That's all for now. I'm going to go ahead and end with the gospel. That is that we are all sinners, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. According to the law, only blood can atone for sin, and God is not pleased with the blood of bulls and goats, but God was pleased with the righteous blood of his only begotten Son, that is Jesus Christ, that shed his righteous and holy blood on the cross for the full payment of the sins of the world. He died, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day for our justification. Now the door is open to whoever knocks. To whoever believes on him and calls upon his name, their sins can be forgiven if they simply believe this good news. God will gift you the Holy Spirit and pardon you of all of your sins and grant to you eternal life as a free gift simply because you believed in him. He will credit your faith for righteousness, just as Abraham believed God and his faith was credited for righteousness. Until next time, God willing, I love you all and God bless you all, and Maranatha.